Lutheran Radio presents Cross Encounters with Pastor John Ehlers.
A few weeks ago, while on holiday with my family, we had the great pleasure of visiting the city of Athens. It is an impressive city, with bags of character and history. But while we were there, we had to go and visit the famous Acropolis. The Acropolis is a magnificent limestone plateau, jutting upward some 156 meters, it's 512 feet, measuring 320 meters, 1,050 feet, by 156 meters, or 512 feet. This impressive natural wonder still stands at the center of the city of Athens even today. Now, the sides of this rocky outcropping are extremely steep on every side except its western slope. While the top of the Acropolis is now home to the ruins of ancient Athens, you can still picture in your mind's eye the wonder and the magnificence of what once stood there. Remains of the Temple of Nike, constructed around 425 BC, are the first things that you will pass. And then, when you look to your left, you will see the amazing ruins of the Temple of Poseidon, which was erected about 405 BC. Although these two temples are stunning, your eyes are quickly drawn to the Temple of Athena, the Parthenon, built around 440 BC. This Doric temple, dedicated to the goddess Athena, stood atop of the Acropolis. It is still staggering in its scale and beauty, but 2,000 years ago, when the Apostle Paul would have found himself in its shadows, it would have taken your breath away. It was a rectangular temple measuring 70 meters, 228 feet, by 31 meters, 101 feet, composing 7,000 square meters or 23,000 square feet. Its column stood 11 meters high and would have had a diameter at their base of 2 meters. These columns would have supported a richly ornate ceiling composed of marble slabs. And in the midst of this temple stood a 13-meter-high statue of the goddess Athena. As we stood there, gazing at this monumental sight, my mind flashed back to Acts chapter 17, where Paul stood on this same hill and was overcome with emotion when he saw the city and saw that it was filled with idols, including an altar to the unknown God. They were indeed very religious, and they wanted to cover all their bases. But they, in their zeal, were chasing after false gods, idols made by their own hands and their own imaginations. So Paul proclaimed to them the real and the true God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who loved them and provided for their every need, the God who came to them in human flesh and died on the cross for them and for us, the God who rose from the dead, Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Paul knew that they were searching everywhere to find God, and he desired to tell them about the only place where they could find the true God, in the cross and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It struck me that our modern world is not that unlike ancient Athens. We have erected altars to all kinds of false gods all over the place. We've built football stadiums, concert halls, cinemas. We have our television sets, the stock market, car showrooms, the classroom, pubs, lap dancing establishments, and even crack houses. The list could go on. Some are grand and beautiful, just like the Parthenon. And some are seedy and scandalous, like the illicit sex shops and sex trade. But all people are searching for God. Paul laments that they search for God in idols, made of gold and silver by their own hands. How can a craftsman mold an idol one minute with his hands, and then bow down to it and worship it as his God the next? So we print money and build our houses and make our cars to satisfy our short-term desire. But the thrill soon wears off, and we realize that these creations, made with our own hands, have no lasting value. We may seek emotional thrills or the rush of adrenaline, perhaps in athletics, either as a participant or a spectator. Or we may chase the escapism of the cinema or our televisions. Perhaps we want to drown our sorrows at the bottom of a bottle, at the end of the bar in the pub. Perhaps we try and reach the heights of ecstasy produced by sexual endeavors or the use of drugs. But again, these are all doomed to fail, as they are short-term highs which lead to long-term lows. Our emotions, our adrenaline, and our pleasure-seeking will ultimately let us down. Instead, Paul would have us look outside ourselves, far outside ourselves. If we want to find God, we need to look in the right place, and that place is on a cross. The people of Athens laughed at Paul, just as many laugh at us today when we proclaim that same crucified Messiah. But the foolishness of the cross and the resurrection, as crazy it may sound in our rational ears, is the power of God unto salvation. The gods created by our own hands, minds, and imaginations are false. They will only let us down, and let us down hard. But the true God, the God who created us, provides for us, and who forgives us, is the crucified and risen Jesus of Nazareth. And as Paul says, now God commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Let us pray. Almighty God, since you have called your church to witness that in Christ you have reconciled us to yourself, grant that by your Holy Spirit we may proclaim the good news of your salvation, so that all who hear it might receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you always. Amen.
Love is in the air.
Christ is in the air.
Lutheran Radio UK.